Good morning and welcome back to our final segment today of Room 428 on 1590 KVGB. Patrick Burnett with you once again. Kelsey Metro, our guest today. We're talking about power teaching today. In our last segment, we learned about a big federal grant.
That's correct.
That, you know, and the junky taxpayer, we love to hear that.
Always good news.
That is always good news. And I think this is just really amazing. The Graben Middle School is just one of only five schools across the nation that are taking part of this.
We were very, very fortunate.
Now, are the other schools all middle schools as well, Kelsey?
Yes, they are all middle schools.
Okay, so everybody's on the same level playing field then here.
Right.
Very good. Okay, now, we've been talking a lot about cooperative learning and students helping each other. Devil's advocate here. There's a parent that says, well, you know what, my child doing a lot of cooperative stuff, but what are they doing individually to help them get better in math?
And there really does have to be a balance between that cooperative work and the individual accountability. Students learn really well from one another, but if they can't do it on their own, it's not going to help them out later. And power teaching does ensure that a student gets that individual accountability. So after all of that cooperative teamwork, they slowly almost kind of wean the students out of working together. So they'll do something that's called team huddle, where they're all talking back and forth. All the students are working through a problem, same place at the same time. And then the next problem they'll get, it's called team mastery. So the students will work on it on their own, and then they'll bring it back to their team to work on it if they have any questions.
Okay.
After all of that, then they're given an independent question, a quick check question, to see if the student understood what the concept was for the day. So there is the individual accountability on a daily basis, along with, of course, the normal quizzes and assessments.
Well, that's excellent to hear because, you know, again, I think I got my way through college through groups. You know, I may have been the weak link, but I didn't want anyone to know that. It was my group that was strong.
That's so right.
And let's face it, children are incredibly smart these days.
They're very intelligent, and it is unbelievable some of the discussions that they can have over math. But we want to make sure that they're able to carry that information on while they're on their own as well.
Now let's talk a little bit about, obviously there's achievements, there's goals and, you know, reasons for students to do well and all. When you talk about goal setting, is there goal setting in power teaching, Kelsey?
There is goal setting. We have the teams set goals on how they're going to cooperate together. So the team may look at their points. They earn points for working well together, for accomplishing tasks together. It's all about working together. So when they set their goals, it's for a cooperation goal for the team. So maybe they're going to ensure that everybody completes their tasks or everybody is positive while they're working together. So goal setting is a very important part of this so that the students do have something to kind of strive for.
Okay. Well, obviously that makes sense, obviously, to hear that, but a lot of times, you know, common sense sometimes can go out the window from time to time.
Occasionally that happens.
Occasionally, yes. So obviously you've got the goal setting, but then obviously once you achieve a goal, with children especially, I think it's very, very important to celebrate when you do reach some sort of success. And does power teaching allow the student to do that?
Power teaching is based on making sure that students get that time to meet their goals and then do celebrate. So throughout the entire lesson, there are small celebrations. I don't mean that every day they're bringing in candy to give to every kid, but they'll do little cheers to make sure that the students are recognized for a job well done. And then at the end of each cycle, so after they get finished with a unit, they'll do some sort of little celebration for the class.
Okay, so we're talking about power teaching today here on Room 428. So this is the first year, the first implementation of this. Does power teaching each year as this goes on through, and this is a three-year cycle, are there different components that get added to this, Kelsey?
No, we have every component that we need for this. It'll just be the refinement of how it's implemented.
Okay, so after it's all said and done, then in 3 years, you will be able to look at three different classes, so to say, of students. So you're not just basing the research off of just one class group.
That's right. We'll be able to look at the data for 3 years. So that's two groups of kids every year that we'll get to look at, especially once these seventh graders move on to eighth grade. We'll have a lot of longitudinal data to look at and see how well the kids are progressing.
Now, right now, when we're talking about math, what kind of math are we talking about right now? Are we talking algebra or what kind of, what are we talking about here?
We have three different math classes. We have seventh grade math, pre-algebra, and algebra one. So we're talking about varying levels. And then we also do have some adaptive math classes that are taught at different levels for students who may need the adaptations because they're not quite ready for the math seven.
Okay. So again, if you're just tuning in this morning, we're talking about power teaching today. I never thought math could be this interesting, really.
I don't understand how anybody couldn't think that. I really enjoy it.
I'm sure you do. And you've made this sound very interesting. And it sounds like to me that teaching math has come a long way from when I remember it. It was just as pretty, you know, it was cut and dry. Either you got it or you didn't. You either showed your work or you didn't. And it really sounds like things have really evolved with the onset of power teaching.
It really is. And it's nice to see the students getting involved with their math and not just sitting there listening to a sage on the stage tell them how math is done, but getting involved with it. And it allows opportunities for success for students of all ability levels, which is extremely nice to see.
And you're not quite 1 year through this. What has been your favorite part about power teaching so far?
Getting to go in and observe the teachers has been wonderful and see the amount of student engagement that goes on in each classroom. It is unbelievable. And like I said earlier, we just have a phenomenal math department at the middle school. So seeing all these great teachers getting great student engagement, it's a wonderful experience.
So obviously this has turned out really, really well so far. And in 3 years, you'll be able to look back and look at the data and say, yes, this does work and this doesn't, so on and so forth. But down the road, does this look like something that after 3 years, the government can look at this and go, hey, this is working. And will they think they may possibly start to implement this then?
I really hope so, because it does give the students a little bit more ownership to their own education, and I hope that the data we collect really does help the government out.
Well, again, this has been very, very informative, and that's why we have this program. We always learn about what's going on. In the school district, Kelsey Metro has been our guest today as we've been talking about power teaching. And again, it's only one of five schools in the nation. Kelsey, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you on the program today. And listeners, it's always great to have you as well. We learn about the people, the places, the things, the activities going on in our school district. I'm Patrick Burnett. We'll talk to you next week. ABC News is next.